But we're joined by our next guest of the day, Pam Miller, who is a co-chair of the International Pollutants Elimination Network. Now, this is a global network that connects organizations in the fight against hazardous substances and focuses on low and middle-income nations. Pam is also the executive director of the Alaska Community Action on Toxics and continues to work closely with indigenous peoples in the Arctic. Peace and blessings be upon you, Pam. Thank you for joining us this afternoon on the Drive Time Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
So, yeah, our topic today, we're talking about plastic pollution. I mean, to begin with, the UN recently announced a new international agreement, which has been called historic, as it aims to reduce global plastic pollution by 80% by the year 2040. However, the IPEN have stated that this proposal gives a very optimistic view and has not taken into consideration the view of scientists. I mean, could you, explain this for ourselves in the studio and our listeners? I mean, we came up with a stat earlier on that by 2050, there's going to be more plastic particles than fish in our oceans. So how can that be? Hi, Pam.
The fossil fuel and chemical industries have really relied on the production of chemicals and plastics to keep their business going. And in fact, projections for plastics increasing over the next decade are just really tremendous. In fact, we know now that a child born today will see plastics production doubled before they become 18 years of age. Uh-huh. So this is greatly concerning. And what we're trying to do through the work on this treaty is to ensure that it curbs plastics production dramatically and addresses the very serious problems that plastics production creates throughout the life cycle of plastics, from production and use to disposal, and the chemicals that are used in plastics and the health effects that those chemicals pose to health and biodiversity.
All right. Pam, the IPIN works with middle and low income countries and operates in all 6 UN languages. Please tell us about more about what the organization does, and specifically what the view on international, pollution is from more like Global South perspective.
Yes, well, IPEN has about 600 small organizations working in over 120 countries, mm-hmm. primarily in the Global South. And our work really is to prevent the impact of plastics and chemicals production from falling the burden of those falling on countries in the Global South. Mm-hmm. So preventing the export of harmful chemicals and plastics, preventing the production and use of chemicals and plastics that cause the most severe harm in countries of the Global South, mm-hmm. prevent incineration of plastics that contaminate communities, and we conduct studies to demonstrate harm and also work from a local perspective to a global perspective to eliminate those harms that affect the most affected countries in the Global South.
Mm-hmm. So, Pam, could you tell us some, positive news when it comes to the fight against pollution then? Because, we've just spoken to Dr. Marcus Ericsson prior to speaking to you. And although, he came up with some real kind of highlights in changes in legislation in the US, not using microbeads in cosmetics, You know, these seem, and I pointed out, this whole idea of recycling plastics and the companies wanting us to believe that this is the message now, recycling for a more sustainable future. But actually, the figures don't really bear that out, really. 8% of plastics are being recycled, that have been ditched out into our oceans and our landfills. I mean, is there anything more on a positive note regarding this fight against pollution?
Well, I think there's a growing recognition, and we saw this at the most recent negotiating session for the new International Treaty on Plastics, that the discussions there are evolving from a treaty to focus on plastic as a waste and a pollution problem to a treaty that really addresses the threats to health and biodiversity from chemicals throughout the life cycle. And I think there's growing recognition that recycling, chemicals recycling, pyrolysis, these are false solutions and technical solutions that are not proven. And we just can't fix our way out of the problem. And we really have to. And I think the delegates at the recent international negotiating session are realizing that the chemicals and plastics and reducing the use of plastics is really the way that we have to go with this treaty. There has to be dramatic changes in reducing plastics production, use, and recycling is really a myth that can't solve this problem.
True. I mean, Pam, finally, with your experience working with Alaskan tribes, I mean, can you share with us actually what this idea, or not idea, but this problem of plastic pollution and how it actually affects third world countries or smaller communities? Because we hear the news and the actual agenda of first world nations, but we don't really hear it from the smaller communities' perspective. I mean, can you bring us some insight into that?
Yes, I live and work in Alaska, and we do community-based research with indigenous communities here in the Arctic. And I think what's important for people to realize is that the Arctic is a hemispheric sink for chemicals and plastics that move on wind and ocean currents into the north. And that indigenous peoples of the Arctic have some of the highest levels of persistent chemicals of any population on Earth. And we're seeing increasing pollution from microplastics that carry chemical contaminants into this region and harm the traditional foods of the indigenous peoples, people that rely on foods from the land and the sea that are now contaminated with chemicals and microplastics, again, that bring in a range of toxic contaminants into this area. And there's a convergence with climate warming here in the Arctic as well, because the Arctic is warming at a rate four times faster than the rest of the planet. And as climate warming is happening, we see melting of sea ice and glaciers and permafrost, and these are also now releasing even more chemicals and plastic that have been sequestered in these sea ice stores into the very environment where people are relying on traditional fishing and hunting for their sustenance and for their culture.
Yeah, it's a very worrying problem, this, to say the truth. I mean, and the thing is there anything, because, we know the UN is now moving, I wouldn't say at pace, but they're spending more time regarding looking at, we're trying to address this problem with getting all the stakeholders involved. But what can we do at a local level, at an individual level, really, to try and help this fight or, reduce this plastic pollution that we have globally?
Well, I think there's something that we can all do as individuals, as families and in communities to reduce plastics to reduce our reliance on plastics and plastics waste. And ultimately, this really has to be settled and solved through international policies, because plastics and chemicals don't respect political boundaries. And I'm optimistic, because at the end of the negotiating session last week, there was a decision to develop an initial draft of a treaty before the next negotiating session, which will happen in Kenya in November 2023. So while we all have an obligation, I think, to see what we can do locally to phase out our own use of plastics and reduce plastics waste, we ultimately also have to fight locally, internationally, to eliminate these chemicals that are used in plastics, as well as plastics production and plastic waste.
Well, Pam Miller, it's been a pleasure speaking to you this afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on the Drive Time Show.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.